You got your Bibles open. Proverbs 13. We're going to look at a couple verses, but we're going to look at the first verse where God spoke to me on this message is found in verse 17. So it's 13:17. Is everyone there? We're on the same page. It says this. It says, "A wicked messenger falleth into mischief, but a faithful ambassador is health." A wicked messenger falleth into mischief. It seems like more and more people are falling into mischief these days, whether they be preachers, they fall into mischief. Something's happening, something's going on, whether you be a husband, whether you be a wife, whether you be a child. It seems like people are getting into mischief. I'm not going to say deep and horrible sin, but mischief. Bad things are happening. It's always been about this, if you look at it, about faithfulness and lack of faith. And that's what this message is about tonight. The wicked messenger falleth into mischief. And I'm going to talk to you tonight, just shortly, got a little bit of time, about the wicked messenger. Who is a wicked messenger? What is a wicked messenger? First of all, I would just put it as this. A wicked messenger is someone who will not or does not give the message. A wicked messenger would be someone that is sent with a message and they don't preach or teach the message that they were sent with. That would be a wicked messenger. If I sent Helene, because she's just so godly and like a little angel, and if I sent Helene and I said, "Helene, go over to Sop and Jane's house and give them this message. Sop and Jane, I'll meet you on Saturday at 5 o'clock for dinner, because we got to go out to eat." And then you go there and say, "Mike said he's not coming to dinner." Or she just changes the time and says, "Mike says he'll meet you at 4. Mike says he'll meet you at 7. Just doesn't give the message that I told her to give. That can mess everything up. That could maybe even ruin their plans, my plans, maybe even a friendship. And what my point is that God has sent many, many messengers out into this world. I'm telling you that right now. When you think about the message that every single person in the Bible can, they've all had a message to preach, didn't they? A message from God. Anyone may call themselves a prophet. Well, at least God called him a prophet. Or a preacher. Or anyone that claims the name of God and God has spoken to them, they have a message. And this isn't even about the message what I'm talking about, but Jesus, in the New Testament, Jesus Christ has given all his believers a message. Everyone. Every single person has a message, though. It's not like in the Old Testament, you know, Jane, it was the prophets. Only them. They had the message from God, and everyone would have to go to them to hear the message. Amen? But now, in the New Testament, every single believer in Christ has received a message. And we're all supposed to go and be faithful messengers of that message. Isn't that true? And that message is, hey, everyone, God loves you so much that he sent his Son. The only begotten of the Father, the Son of the living God, lived and born of a virgin, lived on this earth, walked on water, raised the dead. We know the story. And he suffered and bled and died to pay the penalty of your sinful nature, your sin that's going to carry you to hell. What a great message that is. And you know what? It says here a wicked messenger falls into mischief. What is a wicked messenger? Someone who will not or does not give the message the way they're supposed to give the message. Look in verse 13 with me. It says, "Whoso despises the word shall be," what's that word say? "Destroyed." Whoso despises the word of God shall be destroyed. Just the same as it says in Romans 10:13 that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, that everyone likes to use. Whosoever, anyone, shall call upon the name of Lord Jesus shall be saved. I mean, people, they take that verse and say, I prayed, you know, I called upon the Lord, and they're putting all their chips into that one little basket, and I prayed. But here, it says that whosoever, that means the same thing, anyone, despises the word of God. What does it mean to despise? Anyone know? Close, very close. Huh? No. Who said that? I can't see. Is that you, Nancy, back there? No. It's close, though. That, no. Yes, Heather. Very close. Very close. What does it see? Hatred is hatred. Despise is different than hatred. Different words. What despise means, if I hate you, I have feelings towards you. I can't hate you unless I have a feeling towards you. You know what I'm saying? If somebody says something to you that you don't know, you can't hate them. You might think they're weird. You might, like, who cares what they say? But it's someone that you care about, you have a feelings for, they're the ones you hate. So if you hate anybody today, first of all, you're against God if you do, because you shouldn't. But if you hate anybody, that's because you have some kind of feelings towards them. Despise means I don't even care about them. That's what despise means. I don't care about them. That's what the word literally means. And it is worse to be despised than it is to be hated. If someone hates you, at least they have feelings for you, John. You know what I mean? But if someone despises you, they could care less whether you live or die. And so what it says is someone who despises the word of God shall be destroyed. You know, from the very beginning of time, like I said earlier, there's been a message and there's been messengers. And those messages were kind of always the same. If you look at it in Noah's day, look at Noah as the very first messenger with a message. And that message was about destruction, that the earth was going to be destroyed. People didn't like to hear that message very well, but they still got the messenger. You look at it from Sodom and Gomorrah. You look at Moses. You look at even Balaam talked about destruction. You look at David. You look at Isaiah, Daniel, Ezekiel, Jonah. Walked through the town, given the message in 40 days, and Nineveh shall be destroyed. There was always a message, and it was always a messenger, and it was never sugar-coated. It was always told the way it was meant to be told. God gives a message. He says, you better be a faithful messenger. You better give the message, Rich, the way God intended to give it. And that's the problem, is today I see all of us, we're all in the same boat. We don't like the message that much because it might offend someone. It might hurt someone's feelings. You talk about hell. Last Sunday, me and my son Michael, that's what it was. And we were talking. I said, you know, 3 years of it, had started church, 3 years, never once preached a message on hell. First time. And it wasn't even like a real bad message on hell. I mean, trust me, you can really, really get deep into that and get bad. But I never, and I'm thinking, why is that? Because of me personally? I don't know. I certainly hope not, because I try to preach whatever God tells me to preach. But out of 3 years, one message on hell. It's not a lot. But there's people that never talk about hell, because people don't want to hear about hell. Who wants to hear about hell? I don't. You know what I mean? But in all reality, that's what I got saved from. And the message of Jesus dying on the cross is a message from hell. But the truth is that most people won't give the message that God told them to get. And so therefore, if you have Ezekiel and Jonah and Zechariah and Zephaniah, you read all these guys, every one of them, they didn't sugarcoat anything. They didn't make anyone feel good. They told the message exactly the way God gave them the message to be told. Isn't that right, Ken? And people either repented or they didn't. They either listened or they didn't. Now, what about Jesus? He shows up on the scene. Did he sugarcoat anything? Did he give the message? Jesus was a faithful messenger. And all the apostles and all the apostles, they gave the same message. With that said, turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 23. There's a verse in Jeremiah I want you to see. Jeremiah chapter 23. And say amen when you're there. There's one. I just like hearing amen. Jeremiah chapter 23. Are you there? Look with me in verse 28, please. Jeremiah 23:28 says this. The prophet that has a dream, let him tell a dream. See, he says, the prophet that has a dream, let him tell a dream. Did you ever have a dream before? And you tell someone a dream? This thing, it bothers me a little bit, gives me a little rub, is when I hear people say, oh, so-and-so prophesied over me, and they had a vision of this, and they had a, you know what I mean? It's like, okay, anyone can have a vision. Anyone can have a dream. You know what I mean? I remember Pastor Nizzy used to always say, maybe you had some bad pizza that night. You know what I mean? And you had a crazy dream, and then you're taking that dream as gospel truth, whatever it is. And he even says, and the Bible even tells you, he says, if any prophet has a dream, let him tell a dream. And let people know it was a dream. It could mean something. It might not mean nothing. I don't know. Let me just tell you the dream. But he goes on to say this. He says, the prophet that has a dream, let him tell a dream. And he that has my word, let him speak my word faithfully. And then he goes to say this. What is the chaff to the wheat? What is the chaff to the wheat? And that's what I couldn't get away from this. The Lord put me here, saith the Lord. He that has my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, God says? What is it? And I want you all to think about this just for a moment tonight and tonight and you go home and tomorrow morning when you wake up, think about that question. What is the wheat to the chaff? What is it? Matter of fact, if you think about it, when the whole stalk grows up and they harvest whatever the fruit is, they could care less about the rest of the stalk. It's only the wheat that matters. And I may preach this on Sunday a little more, getting more depth about it, because I can't get away from it. But the chaff is literally good for nothing. I mean, it's good for nothing. I looked up every single verse. And there's 27 verses on chaff in the Bible and only two in the New Testament. They all say the same thing, that the chaff is just going to drive, the wind's going to blow it away, or the fire is going to burn it up. And it literally has nothing to do with the wheat. Wheat sustains you. Wheat feeds you. Wheat strengthens you. Wheat gives life. The chaff gives nothing. It does nothing. And so God is telling us in this verse, he says, the prophet that has a dream, let him tell the dream. He that has my word, let him preach my word faithfully. And then he says the exact same phrase. He says, what is the wheat to the chaff? And that's what I can't get away from this, because the doctrine of separation, because that's what it is. The wheat from the chaff. It all was one, just like we're all in humanity together. But God is going to separate the wheat from the chaff. God has always spoken to us, telling us the truth, Joe. And he's telling us that if you are the wheat, he's going to take you unto himself. If you're the chaff, you're going to be blown away, driven away, and destroyed. Just like he said, whosoever despises the word of God is going to be destroyed. Whosoever doesn't care about the word of God that's been prophesied from the very beginning of time, every moment of every age, of every time there was a preacher giving the faithful message. And today we got more voices for God than there's ever been before. There's more radio stations and internet and just preachers everywhere. You have tens of thousands of people attending certain churches. And I just wonder, are they preaching the word of God faithfully? Or are they just saying something that sounds good? Something that people want to hear? In all reality, I don't ever want to just say something that people want to hear, because it might get more people in here, and it might get people smiling, and it might get people saying, great job, Pastor. I came in feeling horrible. I leave feeling great. And I said, well, I want that to be the opposite. Come in feeling great and leave feeling horrible, will you? Because feeling great is just going to take you and keep you the way you are. Feeling something wrong with you, that's going to change you, amen? You never change until something's wrong with you. If you have a bad eating habit, right? And you eat because you like donuts, I like donuts. Someone told me that they were deer hunting. A guy in the bank today told me, showed me a picture of him getting a bear hunting. And I said, really? He goes, yeah. I said, did you hunt him down? He said he was in a blind. I said, did they just come to you? He goes, oh, we baited them. I said, really? With what? Donuts. They put a pile of donuts out there. I'm like, that's not fair. I would be out there eating through them. You can't put donuts. That's wrong. Who can resist a donut? A glazed donut, then pumpkin donuts from Dunkin' Donuts. Now they're gone. It's not even Thanksgiving yet. Anyway, I digress. Donuts. But turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 3. What is the chaff to the wheat? What is it? I want you to think about that, because that's really the message. What is God saying? He that has my word, let him preach it faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat? What is the wheat to the chaff? What is it? And the answer is nothing. Yes. The chaff is the, all right, did you ever see a corn stalk? Okay. Well, did you ever see a cornfield growing? And did you ever see when the plows come by and they take all the corn off? What's left? A little tiny stalk. Where's the rest of it go? It gets grinded up and blown away. And they burn it up. It's literally good for nothing. It's literally what it is it, like, we're all part of the human race, right? We're all human rings. So we're all like a crop of wheat. What they would do is they would get the wheat kernels from the wheat, and it would be all mixed together with everything else. And they would lift it up in the air, like just say a blanket, and they'd throw it up in the air, and the wind would get a hold of the leaves and everything and just blow it away. And then what came down was, and they would keep doing that, until they just had the wheat left. And all of a sudden, when they had the wheat left there, oh, good. And they take the wheat and they put it in the barns, but the chaff just get blown away. And it always gets destroyed because it's good for nothing. It's good for nothing. And God's message has been warning us and warning us and telling us and telling us. And in Matthew chapter 3, are you there? Matthew chapter 3, look at me in verse 12, please. Matthew 3:12, we have John the Baptist comes and he gives a faithful message. And he says this, he said, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly, thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat unto the garner. That's good. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. That's been the message from all along. The fire and brimstone message, as they say. Why is that? Because this is real. It's real life. It's real God. It's real holy. And God has his way. And God can, you cannot get away from God's will, God's plan. God's will and God's plan is to have a people. And he gave his everything. He gave his all. He gave everything he had. He gave his son. He gave his spirit. He gave his word. Gave his friends. Gave his messengers. Gave everybody to get so people can be the wheat and not the chaff. Turn with me quickly to Matthew 10. Look in Matthew 10. What is the chaff to the wheat? Matthew 10, look in verse 34, please. Matthew 10, 34 says this. Jesus speaking himself. Please listen. Jesus said, think not that I'm come to send peace on the earth. What? 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 Don, he's the Prince of Peace. Didn't the angels all say that unto you, peace on earth, peace and goodwill to men? Yeah, he was peace. But Jesus said here, think not that I am come to send peace on the earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. Look in verse 35. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. I'm here to tell you that the message, what is the wheat to the chaff? It's nothing. It literally has nothing to do with one another because they're totally two different things. It's called the doctrine of separation. And when God teaches separation, he talks about separation, he preaches separation, it goes on and on and on, yet we don't either hear it, or we don't understand it, or no one's preaching it, or no one's talking about it, because in nowadays, in today's society, it seems like everybody just gets along. And everybody, and I don't want to confuse you about, God wants us to get along. But you don't want to say, oh, well, what you're doing is okay, and that's accepted, and we're all just one in this. Because God is all about separation. And at the end of time, when it really, really matters, the end of your life, I mean, in all reality, it doesn't matter whether you're rich or poor. It doesn't matter if you live healthy or unhealthy. It doesn't matter what God or what your lot in life was. It only matters what's going to happen when you die. And when you die, guess what? There's separation. You're going to be separated from this body, so don't give too much to it, because it's just going to die anyway. He's going to give you a new one. But the truth of the matter is God is going to take the wheat with him, and the rest is good for nothing. And Jesus went on, and he even said, Jesus said that you are the salt of the earth. You are, amen? How many people heard that? He says, but if the salt lost its savor, if it lost its saltiness, what good is it? It's literally said it's going to be thrown out and walked on top of. It's good for nothing. And he's talking to us. He's saying, the reason I'm saying this message is, whoso despises the word shall be destroyed. And the word of God is always about separation. It's always about separation. Separating from the world, separating from your friends, separating from the way you used to think, what you used to do, the things you used to act, and separating unto God. You see, because that's all that really matters, is God. See, that's all that really matters, Doug. This life is over. It's so short. Before you know it, you're going to be 80. Or you might not live to be 20. No one knows the day or the hour. No one knows. And yet, what we need to understand is, what does the wheat have to do with the chaff? But yet, we want to hang around and be with the chaff all the time. We think that's life, and that really it's going to burn up. And that's been the message from the beginning. See, the Word of God, it should scare you. The Word of the Lord should scare you. It scares me. It scares me. Because the more I read it, I see the matter of facts. Not the, well, maybes. I hear the absolute facts of what's going to happen. I hear the absolute, you can't get out of it. I hear the absolutes in the Word of God. And you either believe it, and what happens when you hear the Word of God? It's either going to do two things. It's either going to scare you, or you're not going to care. And if it doesn't scare you, that means you don't care. And if you don't care, that means you despise the Word. And if you despise the Word, you're going to be destroyed. That's what the Bible says. Now, of course, there's a lot more to go about that. But did we read that yet in Matthew 10? 34, yes, we did. You see, Jesus is about separation. The Word of God is about separation. Whoso despises the Word shall be destroyed, the Bible says. And the Word of God has gone forth. Has it not? Hasn't it? Well, my question is, what has it done in you? What has the Word of God done in you? And what has it produced in you? What has the Word of God done in you to make such a change that turned you from unprofitable to profitable? That turned you from chaff to wheat? What has the Word of God done inside of you to make you different? To make you not the same thing you used to be. Now you're the good things, the fruit. The wheat that sustains life, that feeds people, gives them hope, gives them things. You now are important. The wheat is very, very important. And you know what's important to the most? God. It's very, very important to God. You never throw the wheat out. You never throw the fruit out. Think about it. The fruit of any plant is what you toil it for. It's what you water the plants for. It's what you sow the ground for. It's what you fertilize and what you dig and you sweat and the sweat of your brow, Donna. And you're working in the fields and working for what? For the fruit. And when you get the fruit, you're happy. The rest of the plant, you can care less about. And that's what we have to realize, that there's only one thing that matters. What does the wheat have to do with the chaff? If it has produced fear, if the Word of God, if you care about the Word of God at all, it should produce fear in you. And fearing God's Word is wisdom. Fearing God's Word is wisdom. Please don't ever get tired of being convicted. Please don't ever get tired of hearing about the judgment of God. Do you realize what John the Baptist, the preacher, what he preached on? You know, or what was his diet? His diet was locusts and wild honey. And locust represents the judgments of God. And he had to preach, 50% of his message was the judgment of God. But then the other 50% was wild honey, edifying, good, uplifting, telling you the good news. But there's no good news without bad news. You can't have good news and then get good news. Doesn't work. You have to have bad news. Oh, no. But there's good news. Oh, good. But there's bad. Oh, no. But there's good. Oh, good. Without the oh, no, the oh, yes don't mean anything. And guess what happens when they don't mean anything? You despise the Word. And I'm just here to tell you, please don't ever get tired of that. What is the chaff to the wheat? It is to be compared. It can't even be compared to in all reality. The wheat and the chaff are so far different from one another. That there's no place for either, for both of them. So with that said, what would you rather be? Would you rather continue to be just, or would you really want to be the fruit of God? What God looks for, what God planted. Do you believe God planted you for some reason? Do you believe it, Joe? Do you believe God planted you for a reason? Absolutely. Well, my point is this, is that Jesus said that you're the salt of the earth. And if the salt has left its savor, what good is it? If the person despises the Word of God, what good is he? If you don't care about the Word of God, what good are you? In all reality, we're no good. Good for nothing. Matthew 5:13, since you're in Matthew, look there with me, and we'll go quickly. Matthew 5:13 says this: you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing. You see that? It is good for nothing. but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. Look, and you know what else it is? Three things, and we're finished. It is good for nothing, is the first thing. It is left behind. That's what the chaff is. It's left behind. In Matthew 24, turn to Matthew 24 with me. Verse 37. Matthew 24, 37. Say amen when you're there. Good, you're there quick. Verse 37, Jesus is speaking and he says, Matthew 24, 37, Jesus said, "But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. And so shall also be also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come." You see, what's with the chaff? The chaff is always left behind. It's left behind. I believe with all my heart that you can tie this right into the 10 virgins and that the 5 were wise and the other 5 were foolish. The greatest most foolish thing you could ever do is not caring about the Word of God, is not taking it seriously, is not taking it personally, is not thinking, "Oh, my soul, today, I don't think I've ever, in my entire life," in the front row, so I'm talking to you, "I don't think I've ever, in the 23 years I've been saved, thought, oh, well, that doesn't apply to me. I'm good. I'm a good place. I'm going to heaven when I die." I don't think I ever thought that way. I always think, "Uh-oh. I hope I'm right. I hope I'm good with God. I hope." And that's why it brings me to the Word of God. And then you know, because I don't know about you. Is there anyone in this room that doesn't sin? Anyone? Any takers? Soph, you shine that halo up today. Shiny. Jane, did you check it? Make sure there's no spots on that halo. We all sin. And you know what happens when you sin? The truth of the matter is that, see, as a pastor, as anyone who's going to preach the Word of God or teach the Word of God or in anything that to be used of God, you have to have the power of God to be used. And if you sin, guess what? That power, God says, "All right, you're on your own." You're like, "What? Not that you're going to hell. I mean, God's not going to use you. Do you understand?" So therefore, you got to get cleaned up. And so what do you do? You got 1 John 1:9. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. It says that if we sin, and if we confess our sins, that He's faithful and just. That means He's right in doing it. To forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How many people know that verse? Come on. You better know that verse, right? How many times you use that verse? If you've been saved for any amount of time, how many times have you used that verse, Heather? Yeah, me too. And that's the thing. Once you know what the Word of God says, you have to have faith in it. So you go, "Oh God, I'm so sorry. Lord, you said, you know, I'm confessing it before you." But my mind, I don't know if I'm just the devil's on me, but all I know is, yeah, but you didn't really mean it in my mind. You know what I mean? I'm like, did I really mean it? Am I really repentant? Or am I just saying it as an easy get out of jail card free? You know what I mean? Hey God, you said, you know what I mean? Like at first, when you're young in the Lord and you're really not being used by God and you're just a regular old Christian, nothing that's wrong with that. We're all that way until you grow and then God can use you in certain areas. But when you're just, you know, sitting in the pew and reading your Bible and trying to grow, you know, you can get away with using that. But when you need God in your life, when you have a sick family member who needs God, you got to get a hold of God. And when you need God in your life, you go to Him with a different attitude. And you're like, "Oh, Lord, I need you." And then that all of a sudden you remember your sin. And you go, "Oh, Lord, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry." And then you think, you start thinking truth. Yeah, but you're sorry all the time. You do that sin all the time. You matter of fact, you sin that sin like 3 times a week. And every week you're saying the same thing. "Jesus, forgive me. Jesus, forgive me. Jesus, forgive me." You know what I mean? Whether or not He forgives you, I'm not even going to go there. My point is this is, do I really mean it? Because He knows, Soph. He knows whether I'm serious about it or not. And so therefore, the Word of God scares me. I'm always, always have fearful in my heart that am I trying to hide something from God? Am I being serious enough? Is this, you know what I mean? And it's not until I get serious with my sin will I stop doing it. Isn't that the truth? You can play with your sin all you want, but we all have it. The Bible says that sin that does so easily beset you, whatever it is. And what's he say? Lay it aside. The last thing left behind. The last thing is to be burned. Three things the chaff is going to do. It's good for nothing. Found out in Matthew 5. It's going to be left behind. We found out in Matthew 24. And it's going to be burned. And we're going to finish with this in Matthew chapter 3. We already read the verse, but I want you to see it again in Matthew chapter 3. Because this was the faithful message preached by a faithful man. And guess what happened to this faithful man? He had his head cut off. And he is a type of a born-again child of God. John the Baptist is a type in the Bible of someone who is born again. Why do I say that? There's many reasons why. One is he was born again from his mother's womb. He was saved from his mother's womb, the Bible says. So therefore, that's being born again. He was already born once. Second of all, he was a type of the people that are going to be on this earth after the rapture of the church. And he's a type of what's going to happen to the people that have to keep God's word. The Bible tells him in Revelation, they're going to get their heads cut off. And that's what happened to him. And he's a type of, or people when they're going to be imprisoned for the word of God and they're going to be, you know, executed, they're going to be scared like him and say, are you really the one? Like he did. Are you really the one? And Jesus is going to give, all they're going to have is the word of God. Jesus didn't go to him, tell him, right to his face. He sent his friends and said, just tell John this. And he quoted the scripture. The dead are being raised. The blind have sight. The deaf hear. The poor is having the gospel preached to them. And all he gave John for comfort, Rich, was the word of God. And so that's what if you despise the word of God, it's the worst thing in the world. I'll finish with this. Mr. Joanne, if you please come on up. Chapter 3 in Matthew. Are you there? Look in verse 12, please. He says, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. That's an absolute fact that's going to happen. When the Lord returns, he's going to take that fruit that is his. The Bible says, for God knows who's his. We can fool people. We can fool ourselves. We can play games all we want. But in all reality, the faithful message is the faithful message. And it's the true message. And it's a message that people don't want to hear today. But I don't know about you, but the word of God, I fear the word of God. Literally, I'm just telling you right now, I'm deathly afraid of the word of God. You know why? Because it is the word of God and it cannot be changed. Therefore, that fear motivates me to make sure I check my heart. Am I right with God? Am I serious for God? Do I care about God? Do I care about this word? It motivates me, Joe, to check myself all the time. I see a generation of people today that they just don't really care. You know what I mean, Jane? They're not really serious about it. And that's all of us like that. And I hope and pray that just maybe you'll think about it. What is the wheat to the chaff? In all reality, what is the wheat to the chaff? The wheat to the chaff is nothing. They have nothing similar. They have nothing in common. And so we need to really understand that we need to separate ourselves from the things of this world, from the worldliness and all the stuff we have, and start separating ourselves to God. Because ultimately, if he comes back tonight, if he comes back tomorrow, if he comes back next week, I don't know about you, but I don't ever want to be the chaff. I don't want to be a phony. I don't want to be a hypocrite. I don't want to be a liar. I want to make sure that I am what I am. You know what I'm saying, John? That I really believe what I believe, that I love God with all my heart, all my soul, all my mind, that I fear him, that I want to live for him, it's him. It's all about him. If you can say that tonight, then I think you're in a good place. But the truth of the matter is the faithful messenger has got to preach the message. Amen. As Miss Joanne starts to have a little time of invitation, would you please stand with me? Would you please stand and every head bowed and every eye closed and nobody looking around? It's a time of prayer between you and your God, between you and the Almighty, the one who sees your heart, the one who sees what you did today, last night, the days before and the week before. And we know, thank God, that Jesus shed his blood to have our sins forgiven. Amen. The altar is open if you want to come and bow before the Lord and just pray and seek His face. But in all reality, the Bible says that if we confess our sins, not keep them to ourselves, and we have to realize the truth that it is sin. Until you see the things that you do as sin, you're going to continue in it. And that scares me. I don't want to stay the same. I want to be used by God. I want to have the power of God. I want to be filled with God. I want to see souls saved. I want to see lives changed. I want to see marriages healed. I want to see families reunited. I want to see the power of God in this world. Don't you? And the only way we can have that is to do business with God. Now, right now, as this time of invitation, would you please examine your heart? And would you look deep inside? If there's anything at all that's there, that the Holy Spirit is revealing to you right now. You're thinking about it now. That's what God wants you to deal with. I'm asking you to, why don't you come and just spend a minute or two in prayer. Humbleness, brokenness, contrite spirit. And do that which God is putting on our hearts to do. That we could be real. And that we'd be really the fruit of God. The righteousness of Christ. Lord, we love You. At least I want to love You. Lord, I want to give You my heart. I want to give You my life. I want to live for You every day. Lord, I need Your blessings every single day of this world. How can You bless me if I won't obey You? How can You bless me, Lord? Lord, I don't despise the Word of God. I believe it. And I fear it. And I pray, would You start a fire within us? Would You start a fire within my soul to do right, to follow You, to love You, that I may know that I know that I know that I'm real. And that I won't be the chaff that's burned up, that's blown away, but I will be real, the fruit that remains. Oh, Heavenly Holy Father, live in us today, I pray. Save our souls through the blood of Your Son, Jesus. Wash me. I give You my soul. I give You my heart. Lord God, please take my heart and seal it. Seal it for Your courts above. Father, help me every day. Convict me every day. Whenever I go left and You don't want me to, convict me. Whenever I look at something I shouldn't look at, convict me. Whenever I think a thought I shouldn't think, please convict me, Lord. And I'll thank You for that in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen and amen.